your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Hey,
yeah, well, baby. Welcome home, family. It's
your mom and dad.
Your mom and dad. Hello. Hello. Guess what, everyone? The onions worked.
The onions worked.
The onions worked. If you tuned in to our Friday episode last week, you know that I was sick with a cold, and yeah, Evan made me go through numerous cold remedies that mostly
included?
Included and involved onions.
He's heavy on the onions, that's for sure.
The studio reeked of onions, the house reeked of onions, yeah. I reeked of onions. But it worked, and I am fully healed.
Really?
No.
Okay, well, we tried, and now I got it. So that's exciting. I never get sick. I get sick like once every like 3 years, once every 3-4 years, and now I got sick, which is very dope. But I also believe in the power of
God, here we go.
No, this is my belief. I just tell myself it's allergies.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know how people manifest? I manifest that the sickness isn't real.
Okay.
And I do believe it helps.
Okay.
So sure. Like right now I'm not sick, I just have allergies.
Okay. Yeah, it's just the pollen all up in the
You're
base.
Sick, I'm not.
100%. That's just.
And I have more bass in my voice. We were noting this earlier. I have a lot of low vibes in my voice, which is very strong.
You got heavy on the bass
heavy
right
on
now
the bass,
when you have
no big deal.
When you have allergies.
When I have
you're
allergies,
heavy on the bass.
When it's allergy season, I have a low deep voice. So control yourself.
So he has allergies. I am still somewhat under the weather. I actually am feeling quite a bit better than I was
You're welcome.
When we initially.
That's weird. Actually, you have not said thank you, which I thought was interesting.
What, for the onion shower?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I did what was necessary, not what was easy. Hero. I mean, I'm just saying. Someone's got to say it. It's not you. I might as well just say it by myself.
Thank you so much for the onions. I really do appreciate it. I really do.
You're welcome.
I did feel really bad right after recording Friday. And then I do feel like I bounced back pretty quickly. And now I'm just like, eh. Mm. But I'm not terrible.
Ah.
I feel like I got over it. Maybe faster than I normally would.
Okay,
so
you're welcome.
Thank you so much. But here we are. Here we are again. You know, mom and dad. Now mom and dad are under the weather. So that's what you're going to get today, family. And Lee is not with us again because we want to protect him and not pass on this cold.
Although
him.
I wouldn't mind if we had more like camaraderie in that way. You know, it's like we're all down.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we all get sick together,
I'm sure
we're in this
love
together.
That.
He texted me. He said, I wish I was sick too. And I was like, no, man. Don't be, you know what I mean? So
sure.
He's such a team player that he said, I wish I was
player.
Sick with you guys. Please let me come and get sick. And I said, no. And he's like, please.
But yeah, if you haven't watched that last episode, tune in.
Watch that last episode if you want home remedies. We did some amazing remedies in studio.
We also did Reddit stories,
which
were really fun. So tune into that one.
That was a fun episode.
I had a grand time, minus the not feeling good. By the way, I just want to let the family know and let you know, since you put me through the onion ringer, I'm not going to do it on camera and I'm not going to make the family rewatch this, but I want you to know that I will be performing onion remedies on you. I will be creating like a human stew. Like, just picture
put me in a pot.
Yeah, I'm gonna get I'm gonna fill up our bath with like broth and chop up a million onions and
beef
and just beef and steaming hot veggies, whatever is necessary, ginger, all of that, and I'm gonna put you in that stew and I'm gonna cook your ass.
Cook my ass.
I'm gonna cook your ass. I'm gonna use a giant ladle and we're gonna broth you.
And you're gonna
broil
drink
you.
It?
I'm gonna drink it in solidarity.
Oh God.
We're gonna onion human stew you.
Mm.
So that's what's gonna be happening after we record this
God,
episode.
It sounds kind of hot.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
it's like food play.
But like porridge play,
stew play.
God, what's wrong with us?
For all of your fantasies and wildest imaginations, just think about how sexy stew play is.
Ooh, stew
your
play.
Partner, your significant other.
Whoops, is that a carrot or is that just, are you just happy
my
to see
God.
Me?
Unbelievable.
What? I mean, it is what it is.
Well,
whoops, is that a carrot or are you just happy to see me?
Well, you know what I'm saying? We are going to postpone our human stew for a moment to come to the family to discuss the Men Tell All episode.
Great.
Which it was. Okay. I don't know what is going on this season. Yeah. I don't know what magic is cooking in that stew in that kitchen, because normally the Men Tell All episode, the Women Tell All episode, I always think I always feel like I'm going to look forward to them and I get excited to see them. And then I always end up hate watching them.
Yes.
They always end up being like my least favorite episodes.
They're usually not that good. It's kind of like, you know, I almost feel like it's like a corporate sponsorship episode.
Yeah,
there's all these like bits and stuff, and then generally, but like this one was really good.
It was so good. And yeah, it's typically, yeah, it's very corporate, you know, Virgin Mobile sponsoring whatnot.
It's like 2 hours and then maybe 15 minutes of actual stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we get like a long Kardashian commercial in it or something like that, or it's just absolute hectic drama.
Yeah.
And you can't even understand what anyone's saying. Mm-hmm. And it's just chaos. This episode, I loved watching it. We got it all. We got tea in it. We got drama. We got the reuniting. We got power moments from the lead. We got the legacy moments from the other bachelorettes. We got Jerry Gary Turner. We got a clip from Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes.
I mean, we really got everything, and we had no sponsored moments and no long commercials in it that were, you know, previewing whatnot.
No, it was just straight content.
It's fantastic.
Straight content. I really enjoyed it. I actually felt like there was some drama we didn't see coming, which I'm excited to talk about.
Okay, yeah, there was one nugget of drama that was like
insane.
Was anyone
just
talking
out of
about
nowhere.
This?
Did anyone know that was like the first time you get like completely shocked.
I normally feel like I have my finger to the pulse to a certain extent, and I didn't know about this at all.
That
threw me for a loop. I was excited to talk about that. But two things before we dive into the actual Men Tell All recap.
Okay.
Number one, I just saw on Bachelor Rabbit Hole, shout out Rhea, we love you, that apparently on the finale episode next week of Charity season, we are going to find out who our bachelor is.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh my God. Any guesses?
Okay, well, I...
Like what season? Like who?
I would imagine that we have two strong front runners right now. We have Joey and Dalton.
Oh, like it's one of them. Whoever
falls
out.
I would imagine whoever falls out, it's going to be heartbreaking. And as we're seeing in the previews, Charity is like devoed about who she's going to choose and who she has to let go. So I would imagine that's very much like Bachelor lineup. But what I was thinking was probably going to happen is that we were going to see Bachelor in Paradise and maybe get someone from Bachelor in Paradise.
I hope it's Zach again.
Do you think Katie's going to be okay with that?
Maybe. Maybe just, I'm back. I've decided I didn't squeeze this orange for everything it's worth. I've told Katie that she needs to deal with it, but Daddy needs to monetize.
Zach,
I'm launching a new real estate portfolio that I need investment in. I'm back. He's back. Zach is back.
The tagline. You know what?
Not bad.
I don't hate it.
Not bad. Okay, sorry. Continue on.
I would hate it, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, it'd be insane. Round two. Fornication week.
No, I feel like I need it.
I know. I'm sorry.
God, what a tease.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, it was a big tease.
But I really thought that it was potentially going to be someone that we got to know better in Bachelor in Paradise. So the fact that they're going to be announcing it during the finale makes me think that it's going to be either Joey or Dalton.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Who do you think would be better?
I mean, here's the bottom line. I think both of them would be good bachelors. Mm-hmm. Whoever Charity chooses, I will celebrate because she is my queen.
Yes.
But in my deepest heart, I need it to be Dalton.
Yes.
But I also think Dalton would be the better bachelor. Personally, yes. I think Dalton, I just could see him handling the situation. So, well, I think Joey would be great, though, too. I think Joey would do really well.
I think Dalton would be one of those guys where, like, he's everyone's type.
Yes.
Like he's 6'17" and like
gorgeous,
gorgeous and super like strong and like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think it would be more like, it'd be easier to like cast probably.
Where I mean, Joey's gorgeous.
No. Joey's obviously a 10. I'm more saying like, I don't know. I could just see it being, I don't know. I'd love if they did do Joey. I really want like some really outspoken women who are like,
we need some big wild, electric big energy
to kind of like have him be like, I don't know what to do right now. Everyone's fighting over me. You know what I mean? I think I'd want to see that struggle.
All tennis players. Everyone's a tennis player. Yes.
And I see him having more maybe of, I don't want to say a hard time, but I think it would be more emotionally taxing on him than Dotton. And I think that would make for good TV. I think Dotton would be good, but I do think he'd handle it too well.
Okay. No, you know what?
You know what I'm saying? Like, well, you need a little fragility in there.
Yeah.
And I could tell that Joey's a sensitive guy.
Yeah.
And so I need some like hectic vibes happening. I need him to feel, you know,
the pressure,
pain of the struggle of it. I mean, like, well, let's be real, right? Like the drama of it comes from like, I don't know how to handle this. Sure. I'm freaking out. Dotton just feels like he would just kind of handle it
Right.
And he'd just make a decision and be like, fantastic. And then he'd get married and we'd all be like, okay, but
Dotton would
cruise through it.
I do think Dotton would, you would know right away who Dotton's choice would
be. Exactly.
And I agree with you with Joey. I see that. Now that you're saying that, I see that. I think that if we've got some big personalities too, that it might be chaos and stress, and that he might be like, I don't know what to do in this situation. Everyone's fighting over me. Now, the other individual who I would love to see, whose name I've heard float around for a while, who we thought was going to be The Bachelor and then it ended up not being, was Rodney.
Oh, interesting.
Everyone,
you know,
everyone
what?
Loves Rodney. The beach, if you can recall, wept like they have never wept before over Rodney. The people love him.
I like that too, because he's very passionate.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's very emotive too, when it comes to like how he feels about people. I think we'd get some good episodes out of him.
And I have to say this. I did meet Rodney. Was it? I don't remember what weekend it was. Maybe it was Stagecoach. Maybe it was Coachella, something. But I met Rodney briefly. And let me tell you, Rodney does
Sunshine.
He does not disappoint. That man is exactly what you see on screen. Biggest smile, warmest, most welcoming, kind person ever. I do not think he knew who I was and did not, you know, it wasn't like, oh, hey, I've seen, I don't think he had any recognition. And it was just like, oh my God, so nice to meet you. Life is amazing. And you're like, this guy is everything. I think he would just hit the ground running.
I think he'd have the same problem that Charity has, which is like not a problem, but I would imagine he's someone that a lot of people think he's really into them when he's not.
Okay.
Because he's such a nice guy, and he you know what I mean? He's not someone who is obvious to read when it comes to if he's having a good time or not, because he's always having a good time.
Right, like everyone has chemistry with both of them.
That's more what I'm trying to say. That was a long version of me trying to say everyone will feel like they're really strong when like he has no interest. And so I think Charity kind of had that vibe too. I felt like a lot of the guys were like, oh my gosh, my connection with her is so strong. And
she's thinking, like, yeah, I like you, but.
But she's just so, you know what I mean? Likeable and like charming that everyone thinks like, oh, we have this special thing. Yeah. So I could see that. But anyway.
So those are my guesses. Okay. I'm assuming it's Joey, Dotton, or maybe Rodney, but who knows?
That'd be cool.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe Zach 2.0. Zach is back. Zach Attack is back in the building.
Zach Attack is back.
Zach Attack is back, baby. So stay tuned for that next week. Yeah. Now I'm like double excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited to know who they're going to choose.
Also, I did want to mention about Dotton, because last week we were talking about how on the episode he brought up that he didn't know that there was going to be an engagement. All of us are wondering, how in the world did he not know about that there wasn't an engagement? And here we are. And it adds to the charm and the lore of the incredible man who Dotton is. Like I said, I believe that he is an angel sent from the universe, from the heavens, from the gods to Charity. That is my belief.
Right.
But numerous of the fam sent me DMs letting me know that Dotton went on Bachelor Happy Hour and explained what went down. And this is pretty wild. Mm. So apparently, last minute, like 2 weeks before the show started, it was a friend or someone that he knew had to drop out and was asked, do you have an idea of anyone else who could fill this spot? And suggested Dotton. And Dotton was like, okay, sure, I'll try it. And was fast-tracked in 2 weeks, went direct on the show, and didn't really know what he was getting into at all.
I love that he just said yes, and he never even watched an episode, probably. He's just like, sure, that sounds fun. I actually have 2 weeks of I have some vacation coming up. Let's just do it.
Just didn't Google or anything. Was just like, you know what?
He's like, I thought this was like, I thought you said Survivor.
He's like, oh, okay. Interesting. It's like, you know what? Life is beautiful and life is about taking chances. And I don't want to give myself any preconceived notions. So I'm just going to dive into this thing and see how it goes.
So he was just super last minute throw in.
So here's the bottom line. When it comes to reality TV shows, the casting process takes a long time normally. Mm. I have attempted to get on reality TV before. It is lengthy. In fact, there was a show that I actually got the thumbs up for at one point. I don't think I've ever shared this, but I did end up getting pretty much all the way through. Like, we were good for Squid Game, the challenge that is coming out. I did not go on the show, and I'm glad now after hearing stories of the filming and what happened there. But I was right there, and then there was some final last minute doctor's checks and everything. And I know we haven't gotten into this with the family. We will maybe at some point, but I have some health stuff and been working through that. And so couldn't do that. Glad I didn't, because protecting my health and all of that. But I was there. Okay. And it takes a long time.
Yeah.
The interview process, it's like months.
Many interviews.
Of going back and forth, sending in info, photos. Then you got to do the doctor's visits, the evaluations, all of that. Like, it takes a long time.
Yes, it does.
In that interim, that's kind of when you're doing your research. If you haven't watched the show before, you're starting to watch the episodes. You're like, I might be on this show. Yeah. So to think about the fact that in 2 weeks he did that flip, that makes way more sense to me. Yeah. Where you're like, oh, okay, I can see myself being like, the amount of work that you have to put in for 2 weeks to get yourself on the show, that man was just probably 24/7 interviewed, 24/7 sending in photos, doing photo shoots, you know, getting everything prepped. But I am obsessed with the fact that that's how he got on, because if they end up together, please God, if they end up together, that is called destiny.
That is destiny.
There was someone else who was set up, had to back out last minute, called Dotton. Dotton last minute was like, sure.
It's a romance story.
That is chills moment of the episode.
That is super chills.
Fate and destiny.
What if he just got to the end and then he's like, then they get engaged and he's like, cool, that was fun. And she goes, what do you mean? He's like, oh, I thought it was a fake show. I thought we were acting. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, it was really nice meeting you. And he just thought it was like, literally like a show, like not like a reality show,
like,
but like
scripted.
He thought it was scripted. He thought it was just all like ad lib.
It's improv.
It was improv.
Yeah,
and he's
improv,
like, yeah,
baby.
He's like, oh, it was great meeting you. And she's like, what?
He's like, oh, I was in Groundling, Second City before this, working on my improv.
He's like, I do stand up every night.
Okay.
They're like, what?
Great.
Anyway, that makes more sense now. Yeah, because I mean, the fact that he found out there's an engagement while on the show is still one of the most epic.
It's just a 10.
He's just willing to go with it. He's like, yeah, maybe I'll get cut out. Maybe I'll find the love of my life. I'm just open for anything.
And he was down for the engagement portion because he's a little journey.
It's amazing. It's kind of a lesson in life.
This show, this season makes me believe in love again.
Whoa, beautiful song, babe. When did you write that?
I've been working on it.
Wow, makes me believe in love again.
Oh, it really does. Okay.
Well, should we get into this damn episode?
Let's get into the men tell all. Okay, so first of all, we start off with Jesse Palmer. And I just want to say this. They always intro Jesse Palmer on this show when he walks in, when he occasionally does on these episodes, with his age included.
Yeah.
I can't get over this. Jesse Palmer, host, .44. Like, what are we doing?
No, that makes sense, though.
Why?
Because he knows he looks great for how old he is. And so it's a part of his contract to put his age there. Like, I want to remind people. Well, maybe he's selling like a supplement thing. And he's like, you could look like me if you just buy my supplements, Palmer supplements. You know what I mean? Paul, in like a pre-workout Palmer pump. And his whole thing is like, he sells a line of supplements and he's like, you too could look like me if you follow my regimen.
Do you think Zach and Jesse are in on this together?
Of course. Zach sells them houses and investments. No, he's in real estate. And Palmer... And Palmer does the health and wellness side.
He has a workout program online
called Palmer Push-Ups. Mm-hmm. It's a technique he's developed.
And
he does supplements in order to look young.
Okay.
Because his whole thing...
Palmer powder pump up.
Picked a pack of pickles. But he's 44... I would say he looks 44, but he looks incredible for 44. Whoa. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he doesn't look young. Like, you don't look at him and go, oh, he's 25.
He's a gorgeous man.
But he looks incredible for being 44.
Yeah, I think he just, like, is a handsome guy and looks incredible in gen, you know?
You know what? Maybe that's the part of the selling point. He just goes, you'll look hot like me if you take these supplements.
100%.
Oh.
I do like that that's in his contract, though.
It's in his contract to remind people how old he is so that people are going, wow.
Wow. JP really out here doing it.
Exactly.
Because every single time that thing pops up, I'm like, what is this? What show is this? I understand putting the age again when you're a contestant on Survivor or something and they include the ages and whatever, you're like Love Island. Yeah. I guess you're new to the villa, so they include your age so people know. I don't know, but the host, to include the host's age is so weird. Maybe it's such a strange choice.
And they just like put everyone's name in the template and they forgot to edit that out. They're like, oh yeah, whatever, it's fine, 44, no big deal.
Well, that is
really weird. Just imagine like watching television and just like you watch Friends and at the end of the credits, it just tells you everyone's age.
It's like at the beginning of this podcast. Seriously, it's like at the beginning of this podcast. If every time it had our names underneath at the intro and had our ages.
All right.
Why?
Go. Ready? Go.
Is it there in the YouTube?
It's there. I don't
we'll
know.
See Did if it was it added. In? Wait, I'm 34. 27. And Evan's 27. 35.
Evan Ambrose, 27.
But that just made me giggle. But he came out swinging this episode. JP, he's been busy. He's been Bigfoot hunting. He has not been around much this season. But these are his episodes to shine. We got the men tell all, and we have the finale next week.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, I felt like I feel like he crushes these episodes.
Yeah.
He came in. He literally let us know that he was thirsty for the tea. And at one point, he let us know that his cup runneth over. He was gobbling up that
very
tea.
Innuendo-y too. It's like, and I'll tell you what, daddy loves tea and daddy drinky. And you're like, okay, it's a little like my cup runneth over for daddy. You know, it was a little that way. But he was thirsty for the tea. Even he's like, I am thirsty for that little tea.
He was thirsty for the tea.
He was thirsty for tea.
He was ready for it. And something to think about is at this point, and we see it again later in the episode, Bachelor in Paradise has already been filmed. So he has a different relationship with some of these gentlemen because he's hosted in Bachelor in Paradise and has gotten to know some of the guys who are going to be on this season better. So I bet he's sitting there being like, I know some more behind the scenes tea, yum, yum, because I've been on the beach with them and I know that some of them are now friends or now hate each other. And let's see how they interact live on stage. If they're going to lean into still not liking each other, even though they're friends, if there's going to be tension now because they don't like each other, give me that tea, slurp, slurp, yum, 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 Palmer daddy push up pump up is thirsty.
Wow. Okay, I love that. That makes sense that he kind of knows some of these guys more, likes them more, hates them more, whatever, and so his interaction is a little different than how it was when we were watching the show.
And he's like, feels like that, like he felt very winky this episode, like he knows so many secrets that we don't know.
Yeah, he definitely seemed like closer to Braden.
I feel like JP and Braden became best buds.
I get that vibe.
And I also think that the show is definitely going to have it definitely seemed like this episode, like the show is going to have a big arc with Brayden,
yes,
going from, you know, quote unquote villain of this season. I think he's going to be a sweetheart for sure in Paradise because they gave him a lot of airtime. JP was giving him a lot of love in the moment when Brayden gave JP the clip on earrings.
Yes, there's lots of feature time,
which, by the way, was a 10 moment. When JP put on the clip-on earrings and the camera work zoomed up on him, it was gorgeous.
It was.
It was everything I needed. I want that as my phone background.
Yeah, him with earrings.
I was obsessed with the fact that JP kept them on. I wish he would have kept them on the entire episode. They looked amazing on him.
And they were dangly too, so like every time he'd move his head, they'd kind of like whoosh, whoosh.
I felt like it added such a great zhuzh to the episode, and I thought they looked fab on
Earring
him.
Earring bros, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? They're definitely going to become earring bros. I'm surprised that JP, because again, clearly has formed a friendship with Brayden, mm-hmm, in Paradise. I'm surprised that he hasn't started wearing earrings on his own. Because
one little one. It'd be hilarious if, like, in the middle of Paradise, you just see him cruise up and you don't really notice, but you just see a little shine because he got a little diamond in the ear, and he's just kind of like, no big deal. Like, I'm just kind of.
He's like, oh, Brayden, did you notice?
He's like, Brayden, I didn't know you had earrings. He's one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, I didn't even notice you had earrings. Those are cool, man. Yeah, yeah, I got mine. No big deal. Kind of a one earring guy right now, just kind of hanging out with it, but it's no big deal. Oh, your ears are cool. Yeah, I've never seen yours before.
Where'd you get them pierced? Oh, very
is that
cool.
New? Did you just get them done? Like, no, like, man, the whole last season. Oh, really? I never even noticed.
What's your regiment to keep them clean? Keep them fresh?
And he's like, what? You just put them in.
And he's like, I don't know. They've been pierced for a while. I don't have to clean them. He's like, oh,
yeah,
oh,
no. I mean, mine isn't infected at all. And you see it, it's pussing and bloody because he can't figure out how to keep it clean. And he's like, yeah, I've had this one in for like years now. And it's like red. His ear is completely swollen shut. And it's pussing and like scabbing. And he's had multiple sutures and stitches put in it to keep it. And these doctors keep saying, take the earring out. It's so badly infected. And he's in his hotel room like, and he's like pushing it in just so you can show Brayden, like, and act
must
like he's
be best friends with Brayden.
And he's just like, he's screaming, and you hear him screaming, and he's like putting it in, and he's like, yeah, what's up, dude? I always got this. And then everyone on the beach is like, holy shit, bro, it's pussing everywhere. He's like, no. He like lays with them. He like sits down on the couch and like it gets all over the couch because it's just draining. And everyone's like, God.
Oh, that's so gross.
And he's like, what? Honestly, I've had this for years. It's crazy. A little bothering me. I think it's just because of the humidity. Like, that's like what's the show
we've done? Tobias from Arrested Development with the hair plug,
and it's killing him. But it's like he has to choose between like him dying to keep the hair in or his life. Like that's what becomes with Jesse, is that he has to choose between like literally the fading away earring or keeping the earring in, and it's like
impressing Brayden
and trying to be a part of the crew.
And he chooses earring.
Yeah, he just like drives down to San Diego all the time and then like texts him like, that's crazy, I'm just down here in San Diego. But what he really is just in his car outside of Brayden's house, like texting him being like, dude, that's crazy, I'm just down here with like 20 friends, we're having such a good time. And he's just like,
we're a club, we're called like the Earring Bros.
Yeah, dude,
we get together and like show off our earrings.
He's just in a hotel room and he's just like waiting for him to respond, and then like walk outside and act like he's like,
hey Brayden, bro, you know like a car show, like, yeah, my bros and I, we have like the earring show, like we come down to San Diego and we like show off our earrings, like, you know, dude, I've had this earring for forever.
And he's like, you have earrings, right?
Yeah, you have earrings, right?
What?
Like, you know,
I remember,
like,
you saying you had earrings, is that true? And he's like, dude, you have commented on the show about my,
like,
earrings.
You know that I became like a legend on this show because of the earrings and the fashion.
Crazy. I could see that, but I kind of forgot. Anyway, he's on one of those he goes down to San Diego, and he's, you know, those beer, like, or those drinking like carts that everyone like things on.
Oh, you mean like everyone?
They're like bar hoppers. They're like, yes, little bicycles with a bunch of people on them, and you drink and then you pedal.
Yes.
And he's on there by himself, just like pedaling. And the guy's like, he rented out the whole thing just for himself. He's like, oh, I'm going to pick up my bros in a little bit. And then Brayden can't come, so he ends up just doing the whole beer thing by himself, the whole town, just him and the guy who's pedaling it. Well, that went deep.
So point is, yeah, it definitely seemed about? Like JP and Brayden have formed some sort of friendship, yes, bond, like, even that at the very end of the episode, right away, Brayden, Jesse.
Aaron just wants to be there. Like, Aaron's clearly like outside being like, are you guys hanging out? Like,
yeah, well, Aaron S. and Brayden have become very close buddies.
They're the new Aaron and James.
Oh my God, and they're both San Diego.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Aaron and James, Braden and Aaron are the new Aaron and James.
Now, question for you. Aaron Clancy, besties with Aaron B. Do you think Aaron Clancy hates Braden and Aaron S? Because No.
It's two Batmans and two Robins.
So it's just like the pointing, like the Spider-Man pointing?
No, it's two it's two Batmans, two Robins. So the Batman, Aaron and Braden, can like talk about.
Oh, you think they're going
to
get close?
What it's like to be. And then the two Robins can talk about what it's like to be to support Batman.
Okay, now question for you.
Because it really is like that.
It's true. The question for you, though. Aaron Clancy.
Yeah.
What about his relationship with Aaron B? Do you think Aaron B and Braden are now friends? So now Aaron Clancy. Do you think that Aaron B and Braden end up resolving, like, truly their beef?
Wait, no. I'm talking about Aaron S.
You're not following along.
Yeah, there's too many Aarons.
The storyline. Okay. Aaron Clancy. Obviously, King of Paradise. We know Aaron Clancy.
And Aaron Clancy, Burrito Bro with James.
But of course, okay?
Batman Robin.
Aaron S. is now Braden's new bestie. Aaron S., a.k.a. Yes. Adam Levine on
AKA
Hollywood Boulevard.
Pissed off firefighter.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Now, Aaron B., a.k.a. comes back to Fiji.
Yes.
Okay, Aaron B. and Aaron Clancy are best buddies.
Got it. Okay.
But Braden and Aaron B have their beef. Now, on Instagram, it looks like maybe they've teased that they're okay now. I don't know.
Now, as Aaron Clancy and Braden, do we know if they're friends?
That's what I'm saying. This is my question for you. Do you think that Aaron Clancy can be like Batman with Braden?
Yes, 100%.
Even though he's besties with Aaron B?
After the show, they all just San Diego it up.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Once you have a couple brewskis at like a cowboy bar in San Diego, you just figure it all out and you make good. Now, what's going to happen is that Aaron B is going to feel left out because he's not a part of a Batman and Robin kind of vibe. Aaron C and Braden are going to connect over what it feels like to be Batman.
Okay, and Aaron S and James
are going to connect because
also
of the Robin.
Kind of similar looking. Aaron saying. S and yes. Aaron James.
Yes. Yes.
The very jaw-ish. Yes. Wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's like a similar vibe between both of them.
So, oh my God, is Aaron B just fifth wheeling it?
Aaron B is not getting as many calls as he used to.
Oh, Aaron, this is hard.
So
I feel for Aaron B now. He had the whole Xavier situation where he got kicked off early, and then the whole Xavier thing went down,
Aaron
and now he's
C
fifth wheeling it.
And Braden are going to like put out an Instagram post that just says Batman. So
that's going to really hurt.
It's going to hurt him. But I do feel like they'll connect over this.
Yeah, I think you're probably
Aaron C.
Right.
can give Braden like some advice on what it's like to be the first Batman.
That's going to be a powerful San Diego crew.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All the Bradens, the Clancys.
Deep hang.
Wow.
Yeah, that's broed out city hang, you know.
I have been noticing lately that Aaron Clancy has been rocking the earrings. I know he's been doing it for a while, but I feel like maybe they've gotten a little bigger.
Uh-huh.
He's hanging out with Braden. Uh-huh. Okay. The mystery is unfolding.
The Batman have united.
Wow. I'm going to need a whole chart for this.
Yes.
To break this down.
Yes.
Anywho. Going back to the mental health. These are the important parts of the mental health, really. But Jesse Palmer,
yeah,
he was loving it. He was living for the tea. Quick moment. There is an audience member that is holding a DLP poster, yes, a.k.a. a Dark Lord Palmer poster, a.k.a. the lingo of our friends, family, Game of Roses.
Yes, they infiltrated.
That is big news.
The camera definitely didn't know what that sign meant.
I don't think I agree with you.
No, I think they thought it was like flames. Like, oh, he's so hot. Not knowing he's like a demon from the underworld, according to their language.
No, listen. Case calls him the empathetic king. She adores him.
I know, but DL, Dark Lord. I mean, there's no question that like they had no clue that sign was saying.
They had to know what it meant because there's no way that this show was going to put up something with random...
Probably thought it was
DLP.
A daddy like Palmer or something.
No, they
like
had
that.
To know. I believe
think?
There's someone
you think
in
that maybe
there.
Maybe the camera person like is a fan.
Listen,
of them.
Change is coming, okay? The tides are changing. Okay. I feel like we've seen such a fantastic season. I feel like the producing's been so much better. Yeah. This mental all was amazing. I feel like there's someone in there that's in the pit.
Okay.
So
I love that.
I just have to say congratulations to Bachelor Clues, Pace Case, Dark Seeker, everyone in the pit. Like, it has been infiltrated to the individual who had the poster. I bet Jesse Palmer was loving it. And now I have a fantasy, too, that Jesse Palmer is like a huge Game of Roses fan, like an absolute stan. And I just can't wait to see you all hang out together.
I love that. That's have them it. On the show.
But congratulations to the pit.
Big time.
The times are changing. Okay, so this Men Tell All starts, and I do have to say, the fashion was fashioning this episode with these men. We had James, he had some sort of ascot situation going on. Caleb had the white pinstripe, like, cowboy suit.
I liked it because it looked like a suit from, like, Party City.
100%.
It was like a pink tie with a cowboy hat and like a pinstripe suit from like a movie. Like, it was so over the top. It was like, you know, he's a wrestler. It's like very wrestler-esque. Like, it was very over the top.
Very over the top.
And the suit itself wasn't like fitted like a European style. It was like kind of big. You know, like, it had like big suit.
Yeah.
Like a John Cena, you know, had like a big old suit. Like,
that's what he does.
I loved it.
That's what he does. Michael, too, even like his green suit. I feel like he had like yacht medallions on his jacket. And Aaron.
The captain of a yacht vibe.
Aaron S. is full linen. Like, we had a full linen situation going on. And then Brayden, but of course, had black sparkle.
Black Swarovski crystals or something.
Head to toe. And like I told you before in the last episode, I can't lie to you. I was loving Brayden's look. I really was. So the men, I appreciate this. I feel like normally we just get our standard
suits.
Suit situation. The men brought it this episode. Yeah. So bravo, gentlemen. So basically, let's be real here. The mass majority of the Men Tell All was about Brayden.
Mm-hmm.
At least the first half of it when it came to any of the interaction with the men.
It was like Brayden and Sean. That was kind of the two main things. It was Brayden and Sean.
That was the big one. And we had, you know, at least 30 minutes dedicated to watching repeats of Brayden, having the men go back and forth about Brayden.
Yes.
And, you know, I have to say this. I think that it felt to me very much like Brayden had filmed Paradise. There was kind of a different energy going on.
Okay.
I'm wondering who else is on Paradise because I could feel like a shift on the stage a little bit with that. There's other relationship dynamic going on. I just couldn't quite place it.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I felt like on screen during the season, charity season, the guys were so annoyed with Brayden.
Yeah.
And it definitely felt like there was a shift that they seemed more annoyed with Sean.
Yes.
And didn't seem quite as annoyed with Sean during charity season. So I'm wondering if Sean is on the beach. And
I
now,
really hope so.
I hope so too, because Sean is just a piece of work.
Sean has, to me, a like, to me, the difference is Brayden was doing things that were bothering people.
Yeah.
But he's kind of a generally semi like likable guy.
Yes.
Like, people are like, he's fun.
Yeah.
And outside of this competitive space, we'd probably all be friends.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe.
He's competitive.
He's competitive, sure. But he's charming and he's fun. Where Sean hits me as, like, once Brayden left, he kind of took over the role of like, I can be myself now. And he's, this is no offense, it's just far less likable. So I think that the stuff he was doing, his general vibe was far more annoying to the guys than like Brayden, where Brayden is like, we'd all be friends outside of this. It just got a little competitive. Where Sean's a little bit like, we kind of are just bothered by his existence. That's the end. That's the vibe I get.
That's kind of what I'm getting too. And I feel like it has to do with the beach.
Oh, interesting. Like, you think it got worse?
Yes. That's what I was feeling very heavily this episode. Like, there were undertones of relationships that have moved forward and they've gotten to know each other better. And now, again, like I said, where Brayden used to be the one who bothered everyone the most is now subtly has moved to Sean. Because I could even feel like when the men were coming at Brayden about, confronting Brayden about what happened on the season, you could tell there was an energy of like, this is past.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to let you know how I felt, but it didn't get that heated. Whereas in when the Sean moments would happen, the men who seemed irritated seemed more irritated with Sean. That's how I felt. But we're trying to maybe subdue it a little bit because they're like, we can't break certain storylines that might be going on in Paradise.
Well, I forgot who said it, but it was like, you know, Brayden was bothering people. Brayden did far more damage to their ability to connect with Charity than Sean even came close to. But no one said to Sean, no one said to Brayden, I've never wanted to punch you in the face more than that moment, right? Who's that?
Tanner.
So Tanner said,
Tanner is very low key.
Very low key. But you could tell that, like, I mean, to say I never wanted to punch you in the face more than that moment.
I've never wanted to punch someone in the face more than when Sean walked in.
And even
Brayden, post the Barbie date,
having done far more damage, didn't get that treatment. So it clearly shows that, like, it's who, like, your energy can also allow you to get away with stuff or not get away with stuff, right?
That's what I'm saying, though.
Because even look at how the things are happening. How is Brayden, who did all this damage to their ability to connect with Charity, is now kind of coming out of this a little bit of, like, the likable character, and it's getting all this good edit. Sean looked bad, and he did, like, at the end of the day, he didn't do really anything bad on the show. He just was annoying.
I mean, he had
people.
The Barbie thing where he came and he was singing and then stole her right away. It was annoying.
But, like, maybe one wrong move versus 30. And yet Sean, everyone's annoyed with Sean more than Brayden. It was interesting to watch.
But this is what I'm saying. This is what I think is happening, where we're seeing already the construction for the audience of the storyline of Paradise.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sean's on the beach or not. So
I really hope he is.
I really hope too. I would bet my bottom dollar he is. I feel like they would 100% ask him, and I feel like there's no way Sean would say no to going on the beach. I felt like he was giving us Paradise audition. So, but if he's not on the beach, ignore me, and then this whole thing is off.
Yeah.
But if he is on the beach, I feel like this whole thing was a storyline that was being set up for us.
Yes.
Where Brayden was getting his moments of, like, you know what, it's okay, we move on. And Brayden's great in this way, and look at him making out with Kat, and, like, all these things that they're trying to do. And then they had all these moments with Sean that they showed us, where, for example, when Sean was saying in ITMs, like, Brayden, you better not come or show up to the men tell all. And then he right away said, best day of my life is when Brayden left. And then we end up having a nugget that we didn't get on the show, which was Sean telling Brayden that, hey, you know, you're out here taking all this time and you're not ready to get down on a knee and get married. And then Brayden looks at him and he goes, excuse me, you're the one saying that you don't know if you're ready to bring her to your family.
Yeah.
Now, then Sean said, no, what I was saying is, I don't know if I'm going to be ready at the end of this thing. Or I don't know if I'll be.
It was a comparison between Sean was saying, I don't know if I'll be ready for this thing, versus he was saying that Brayden was saying, I don't know if Charity's good enough.
I understand that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, it felt like we got this nugget, unless I misunderstood it, that we had Sean, who was on screen during Charity season, being like, I can't wait to take her home.
Yeah.
She's the one for me. And then all of a sudden, Brayden being like, you said you didn't know about taking her home to your family. You said you didn't know if you were ready. And we didn't see that as the audience. So they allowed that moment to be aired, that it seems like Sean might have been spewing some things for the camera.
Maybe a little bit going for the clout versus
behind the scenes being like, I don't actually know if I'm ready.
Yeah.
Versus Brayden just Braydening and just says fucking whatever comes out of whatever he thinks and comes out of his mouth. So we had that moment with Sean where it was like, we also had the Peter moment, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But then we also had the moment where Sean, when Charity comes out, gets like, up on stage and sits next to her and is being so cringe. And Jesse's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
There were moments that I felt like the show was constructing a, actually, we love Brayden, and actually, Sean's annoying.
Yes.
That's what I felt like was they were allowing to happen on this. That they were setting the stage for Paradise a little bit.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I mean, absolutely. If they're not on Paradise together, that'd be brutal because they need the showdown.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Now, there was also moments where Adrian was talking with Brayden, and Adrian, I felt like, was really, I really like Adrian a lot.
Yeah. Seems like a really nice guy.
He seems like a great guy. I felt like on the show, the edit maybe made him seem a little bit like everyone's having too much fun, right. And da, da, da. He seemed like a low-key, nice dude. And he was just kind of like, hey, when I was talking about Brayden, I was just like, seems like you're on the wrong show, because we all know that the lead's probably going to be making out with everybody, and it will be in front of us. And I felt like he was preaching truth.
Yeah,
I agree. Was like, this probably isn't the right show. And Brayden was still pretty hung up on, but like 5 minutes right in front of your face.
Yeah, know? That was really weird. It was very like, see, my thing, okay, can I just do a quick breakdown of how I feel about Brayden and Sean?
Yes.
Because I feel like it helps me understand what's going on. Brayden, to me, what I'm starting to kind of realize is that he kind of followed, which I feel like is a real way to go about it, in that like he made it clear that I'm not here for the guys. So I'm not super concerned about messing up your time.
Right.
I'm here for me.
Right.
And I do feel like there is this kind of like fraternity brotherhood thing that goes on, which is like, you need to respect everyone's time.
Yeah.
And after having kind of seen this now shake out, I kind of go, yeah, I kind of agree with Brayden in this, where it's like, as much as it's annoying, as much as it might rub you the wrong way, I'm not going to let my possible relationship go down or go up because I want to make sure that you have your time.
But the problem is, if that would have been what it was, that would have been fine.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about...
The issue is then, though, that I think where then the guys started to be like, excuse me, Charity, is that he was like, I don't care about the fraternity, but I'm also going to let all you boys know that I feel like she's putting it on as Bachelorette. And you're like, okay, if you're going to not be part of the fraternity and not be part of like all the men, don't be spilling all of those thoughts right. to the guys.
Well, that's what Xavier said. Xavier's like, you know, you got to know. And that was the big problem with Brayden, is that like he wasn't practicing like discipline in like how, when to talk about what, when, who to talk to. Like he would always, because his thing was like, he'd say all these things and then get blown away that someone was shit talking him. And I think that's what was so confusing about Brayden, was Brayden was like playing the villain, but then like being like so hurt that anyone had an issue with him. And it's like, well, dude, this is really confusing. But the one thing walking away from Brayden I felt was he is kind of being himself, and so I could see from when he's saying that everyone's kind of not being themselves, I kind of get it from his perspective, because he's just like this guy who just blurts out everything he thinks. And if you're someone who blurts out everything you think and then you see someone not doing that, you're like, they're not being themselves. 100%. Even though that's not how the world works, but he's just kind of being himself. I think that's what's making him kind of likable to people, is like, take it or leave it, he's just being himself. He's not playing a role of villain. It's like his actions became villainous, but then there was likability to him. There's kind of this thing. So when you watch him, you can decide what you feel about him. So
yes.
My thing is like, some people like him, some people don't like him, but he does seem pretty genuine in his like approach that like just kind of floundering and doing it. Right. So that's kind of how I feel about Brayden. It's like, you can make a choice about him. I think why Sean has a very unlikable energy on the show,
I think he's going to be the ultimate villain.
I think it's because he doesn't know who he is.
Interesting.
He's always doing these moves that feel like random. Like he's just kind of like this, he's kind of a sweet young guy, and then all of a sudden he just kind of tries to be like major alpha guy, and he's always doing these like alpha moves where he's like,
see, I don't, oh no, go ahead.
Oh yeah, he's always kind of like, I'm gonna go over to her and tell her, then make out with her, and then I'm gonna go up on the couch and be like, I'm gonna sit here and like tell you some stuff. Like it's almost like, you know, the joke we always talked about, his dad being this like rich powerful guy, and he's always trying to like make his dad proud. I think because of that, when you watch him, you're kind of like, I still don't know who that guy is. And he's doing these weird moves where like he'll be randomly like insecure, and then the next moment he's like super confident and he's like, haha, I'm the man. Like,
right.
It's very like, I don't even know who you are. And I think it rubs everyone a little bit the wrong way.
I don't get the vibe that Sean doesn't know who he is. I think that Sean is doing like, the fact that he went up and is like, let me sit next to you, Charity, and was just like, just so you know, you were perfect. And all of his words were nice, but it just felt like, okay, dude, like when you, it's like very, very much the guy at the bar where you're like, all right, enough with the lines. I know what you're trying to do. Like, I'm trying to make sure that you know that I'm a good guy, yes. Which is always sus. So
it's like when Xavier said it to Peter, he's like, just so you know, I'm a really good guy.
I know. I'm just like,
and it was like,
don't you,
I see what you're trying to do. You're
really
trying to cover
guy.
Up what's
you're
going
like,
on.
Like, listen, you know,
I know that everyone did this thing and I did too, but like, just so you know, like, I'm a really good guy. Just like, so you remember okay. that. Can you guys cut that?
But that's the thing with Sean, is I feel like Sean is presenting a certain way versus Brayden. I do feel like, obviously we saw how he was with Charity and he'd be a certain way with her. And then with the guys, he'd be like, I don't know if I believe her. So there is that, which you have got to keep in mind, too. But that's kind of more the vibe I was getting with Sean. Now, by the way, when Brayden did bring up the whole facade commentary and was just like, oh, I guess I got to play a game, which was a kind of a crazy fourth wall break when he was like, I guess I got to just play the game. I was like, oh, my gosh. But I felt like there's definitely truth to what he's saying, yeah, where I think, again, for someone like him, you know, Brayden then can be the opposite extreme where you're like, Brayden, these need to be inside thoughts. Like, you need to stop talking. You don't need to share this. Keep that internal, okay? Like, you don't have to go and tell everyone this thing. Yeah. But I could see with his personality where he would look at other specific people and be like, you're faking it. But his example with Adrian to me was so ridiculous. I was like, Brayden, you're reaching, my guy. Like, Adrian having a moment where he cussed and then goes, oh, sorry. And he's like, see, you wouldn't be like, you'd be cussing way more. And it's like, you do realize that like ABC can get like charges if they cuss and it's a live thing. Like, he's just trying to.
It's like being on a date. And then you go, you know, you think to yourself, I really don't like this person's ears. Right. And then Brayden goes, see, you're fake. You didn't look at that person and said, I hate your ugly ears. You're fake. And it's like, well, no, like, it's just called like discretion.
It's discernment and it's discretion. Discernment and
discretion. Like,
yes,
just because you're not like on TV going, oh, shit, F, blah, blah, yeah, doesn't mean like you're fake.
No.
Just because you say everything doesn't come into your brain at all times doesn't mean you're fake.
That's the thing. And
so that's where he kind of has this thing where he's like, he's being honest. And then like he starts calling everyone else fake when it's like, no, they're just like acting like people in the real world.
A 1,000%. And I think Brayden, the thing with Brayden is, and listen, I've said it before, again, Charity is my queen. And I am not okay with the way that he talked about her when she wasn't around, and then the way that he handled just a kissing situation and putting it on her, like that was disrespectful on her end. Like, I just do not find that to be okay. But in general, you know, he seems like a guy who is a nice enough guy. But I do think with him, it's definitely going to be just a journey. He's again, he's young. We've talked about it before. You know, youth isn't always an excuse, but he is a young guy. And I think there's probably just a lot of growing up. He seems like a nice enough guy. And he's obviously very charismatic. And I think Bachelor Nation will fall way more in love with him during Bachelor in Paradise. That's the vibe I'm getting. And he is very entertaining. And the thing I have always appreciated about him is that he does seem to kind of put it all out there.
He just puts it all out there.
He puts it all out there.
He's the guy at the party that's just loud and crazy. And then like some people really like that. And some people are like, dude, that guy's so annoying.
Yep.
Like,
it's a just big personality.
It's kind of the, it's kind of the vibe.
Which I think can happen a lot with the quote unquote villains of the show. When you meet the quote unquote villains of the show in real life, so many times they're just the most dynamic, lovely people. And it's just because they have bigger personalities.
Yeah. And a quiet, chill person might be like offended by their energy, you know?
100%.
So there's again, a lot of that.
I still have a problem with numerous of the things obviously, that he handled yeah. and did on the show. But I think a lot of it has to do with just personality type with some of the men versus Agreed. How he was. And yeah. But we shall see if Brayden, you know, Brayden mm-hmm. maybe does some a little more maturing, and we'll see how he ends up showing up on the beach and all of this. I'm very curious and very excited, to yes. be honest, to watch Brayden.
What is he, 24?
On the sand. I think 23 or 24.
I mean, that's like a year and a half out of college.
Yeah, yeah. He's a young guy.
I mean, it's a different energy.
He's
for
a young
sure.
guy. But finishing up, just yeah. let's just talk about the rest of Brayden.
Yes.
Brayden's Braydening. Uh-huh. He ended up having his sit down with Jesse mm-hmm. where we saw the clip from Bachelor in Paradise, and he is making out with Kat Izzo. And I have to tell you, somehow I'm not surprised.
I kind of love it.
I have them a together lot of kind of feels complicated very feelings about it. I have many complicated feelings.
Well, I mean,
feelings.
I love it for the sake of entertainment. I'm not saying I like think they should have babies together tomorrow. I'm just saying like I think that that'll be entertaining and fun.
I love it because it's similar villainous
That's what I'm energy saying.
And
he's wearing like a cool hat or something.
Yeah, that hat was a choice.
He's wearing
very a golden fedora
very
choice.
Very golden fedora very hat. Golden he's making out. He's is following making the out, rules.
Following the rules of the golden fedora. So that's going to be wild. But also the way that he was reacting to the scene makes me feel like there's gonna be drama. Yeah, he's, he was like kind of cringing and covering his eyes.
But I felt like that was, he was being like playful. Maybe. I thought he was loving it.
Oh no, I think he loved it. He's, but like it was, I didn't see him looking at it with love. It wasn't like, oh, you saw the, I didn't see the glimmer
he's a little
of eye.
Nervous, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't see that glimmer in the eye of like, oh, that's my girl.
No, 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 I didn't get that. I think he's gonna, I think he was kind of like cringing slash loving, like, oh, I was like, I was crazy, and it's gonna be fun.
Well, the people were screaming for him. They were losing it and obsessed.
He kind of won be a lot of people over, I feel like.
I think so too. And then he ended up having his moment with Charity when Charity ends up coming on, yeah. Which, I mean, not surprised, but the most perfect bachelorette of all time.
Yeah,
she just came on, and the way that she interacted with all the men, it was just a 10.
Yeah.
And I loved the way that she talked to Brayden, because you could tell that it was very much like a, I'm not going to get into it with you. I have other conversations to have. And yes, I don't regret choosing you. There was a chemistry. I'm not going to deny that. I'm standing by that chemistry. But also, like, didn't appreciate hearing what you were saying in ITMs compared to what you were saying. And but it is what it is. And it was lovely to know you. And we're moving on. She has a way of putting things so succinctly, like a perfect sandwich, which I don't have. I'm like, ramble, ramble, ramble.
Shot,
like,
it's crazy to think. You're like, okay, we don't have, this is not a 5-hour show.
She's able to just like just make a point and wrap it so well, because I felt like there was so much power in the way that she was like, nice to know you. I had chemistry with you. Glad I met, or an honor to have met you.
Yes.
But I did waste time on you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, it was perfect. It was so gentle, but yet like, no, here's my moment to say didn't appreciate it. Because even when we ended up having that moment where we found out he didn't apparently say classless,
which is crazy,
which you have to make a verbal apology for, because I was like, I don't think I heard it. And you were like, I heard it.
There must have been some sort of, what do they call that when
it's the Mandela effect.
Mandela effect. There must have been a Mandela effect, because
Bernstein.
Yeah, exactly. I was completely convinced he had said it, and so the fact that they looked at it and couldn't find it was like,
also
how's
the
that
audience
possible?
Was like, yes,
everyone
you said
was like,
it.
Yes.
So apparently they let us know that the tapes have not shown that Brayden used the term classless. So apologies to saying that he did, if apparently he didn't. But the point of the matter is he was saying she was being disrespectful. He was making it about her instead of making it about the fact that he doesn't like the way the production is handling certain things going on, whatever. But I loved that she was like, okay, regardless of if that was said or not,
yeah,
if the term classless was used or not, I don't appreciate what was said.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice
best of luck. Mm-hmm. Nice knowing you. Lovely guy.
It was handled perfectly.
Go on your way and be well.
Agreed.
So I felt like it was gracious and sweet between the two of them. They kind of were like, shake hands. But also she was like, I'm not saying that I didn't notice. And, you know, whatever. So I loved it. Anywho. So that was the Brayden of everything. Now, the major random tea.
Random.
In the middle of everything was when all of a sudden the men were talking about Sean and how Sean had moments of bugging them. And all of a sudden, Sean's talking about how, I was coming off of the Barbie date and everyone was having such a great time and dancing and partying. So I just thought that energy was still going. And so when I walked back into that room, I thought everybody would be dancing and partying still too. And all of a sudden, a gentleman in the back who I vaguely recognized, didn't remember his name was Peter, but goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And the guys snap at this man, Caleb the wrestler, which I did not like, all of a sudden
who
goes, oh, who are you? Oh, wait a second. It's that guy from night one. And he starts applauding him and like mocking him. And I'm like, what is happening right now? This is so awkward. Jesse then asks for the tea to be spilled.
It's like, why are you here? Basically was like the question. He's like, you're here for a reason. Let's talk about this.
We find out that this gentleman, Peter, who was there for the first night and then got dismissed after night one. And I remember him. I remember him going up to the bar and talking to Nehemiah for a minute.
Okay.
This man ended up finding out after a Zoom call with all the cast members, once the show was done filming, Brayden ended up spilling the beans and letting him know that a lot of the men were in their cast photos for night one, putting the initials FP at the bottom of their caption to stand for fuck Peter.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
I mean, yeah. This is the most schoolyard bullshit I've ever heard in my life. Like, a group of grown adults are going to be like, you know what would be so funny is if we had this inside joke that we put FP at the end of all of our captions to stand for fuck Peter because we hate that guy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what in God's name is going on?
I thought about it. And it was interesting because at first I was like, I'm missing something. You know what I mean? And I think we are missing something because what I'm getting from this guy, this random guy, is that he went on, obviously, the accusation is that he went on just for clout right away and followers, right? And monetization, da 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 da. But what's confusing to me is that Caleb's saying, like, you told us to fuck off. Everybody said, Xavier was the only one that said, that's not what happened. But Caleb is saying this guy came out of nowhere and saying, told everyone to fuck off.
No, he said he like wouldn't acknowledge anybody.
Right. But he said those words. And then John's biggest complaint was that he sat next to him and said, so who's here for the wrong reasons? So, and then Aaron was like, you're a bitch. He's saying all this stuff.
Aaron's like, I don't know where you're
shaking.
A bitch.
Aaron's shaking. He's so mad. He like, you could see his lips almost quivering. He's so mad at this guy that he went on and he was like, trying to get money, and he was talking about brand deals and shit like that. What I'm so confused by is, even if that was the case, even if this guy clearly came on for clout and was just immediately using it for that and like no one liked him, what made them so angry? Like, I feel like there's a integral part of the difference between being like, this guy's annoying versus like, we hate him, and then let's post a unified front with initials anti this guy. There must be some footage that they're burying.
I mean, but why would they bury
saying
that?
Saying crazy stuff, because
no, I don't think so. There's no way
it got out of hand, because I'm going,
I think it got out of
because
hand.
Because I'm going, like, even Aaron was so mad, you're a bitch. And then but Caleb's also so mad, and John, who's like a very level-headed guy, is like, dude, listen, you would night one. And I'm going, like, what is going on here?
Okay, this is my guess.
Because it's like way more rage than they're expressing towards, like it was equal to more rage than Aaron and Sean. It was more rage than both of those guys.
You mean Brayden and Sean.
Sorry, Brayden and Sean. Yeah. It was more rage than anything else on the show was about this guy.
Right, he was there
for 20 minutes.
Now, I will say there was a moment where JP was like, when he was talking to Brayden, he's like, I've never seen guys more angry chasing a car over what happened. And then sure. Brayden was like, by the way, there was no driver when
that was hilarious.
Aaron B was telling him to step on it. Can you imagine? Take that out for a second. Aaron B's yelling at no one to go step on the gas. It's funny.
That is weird. That's kind of performative, too.
It is. You know it's a little bit like where you're like, okay, behind the scenes, behind the cameras. Okay, this is what I think. Because I think if Peter was such a dick on night one, there's no way they wouldn't have shown that. They 100% would have shown
exactly.
If he was being such an asshole.
Right, if he's saying crazy shit all the time, they would have been like, they would have just supercut of this guy.
Yeah, there's no way. They would have 100% shown it. They had time. There was enough time. And I know that they wanted to have like the whole Brayden storyline going, but you could have had both. You really could have. What I think happened is, I'll say this. Night one, I remember Peter, and I remember saying to you, I don't like the vibe. The way that he was talking sure. at the bar with Nehemiah, the whole energy, I was like, I'm not a fan. So I totally can get the vibe that he had an energy.
That we rubbed people the wrong way.
He rubbed
course.
People the wrong way night one. I think what happened is that it became an inside joke with the guys. After the first night, they were like, they don't know each other, right? So they start bonding over the hatred of an individual.
Sure, understandable.
And they're like, that one guy, yeah, thank God Peter's gone. And one guy goes, yeah, fuck Peter. And then they're like, oh, fuck Peter, bro.
And they're like, we should do a post. And just
then
throw
they
it
just keep talking about it throughout the past, all the weeks on when they're traveling. They'd be like, well, at least, you know, fuck Peter isn't here. And they're like, fuck Peter, bull. And they were like probably writing it on random things.
On their notebook.
FP. And then one time someone writes FP or does the sign. And then it became a whole shtick.
It got out of control over time.
That had probably actually then nothing to do with that guy.
Yeah.
And then it became a whole kind of just mean shtick. But then I think the rage came from the fact that Peter then found out and was hurt, understandably so. Like, you guys don't even know me.
Like a
why?
Unified front
like, why
on
do you
social
guys
media
hate
against
me so much that then he? I don't know if this happened or not. So people, let me know. But I wasn't following him. I bet this ended up coming out somehow, and I just didn't see it. That maybe on social media he was posting, and because he made some comment where he was like, everyone from my church was seeing it, my family was seeing it. So I think all of a sudden some of these guys who have had, you know, nice guy edits on the show are then pissed because they're like, you're making us look bad.
100%.
And I think that's where the rage came from. Mm. That's my guess. I could be so wrong, but I do feel like if this guy was just the worst night one, now maybe he's sucked behind the scenes since. But when even Aaron S. was bringing up, like, on the Zoom call, you were the first to ask about getting money out of this. I'm kind of like, yeah, well, he left. I mean, he's probably like, whatever. So many people are there to get brand deals and clout and whatever. And then he's like, you made a joke about, thanks guys, I'm just going to make a shirt with FP. And they were all mad about that. I'm like, that seems like a way that someone can try to just like brush off their shoulder something that's really mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Aaron S's of the world were like, and the Calebs of the world were like, you're making me look bad. Like we're mean. Like we're mean guys.
Crazy.
And
so confusing to me. I was like, what am I missing here?
Listen, this is my bottom line. I wasn't seeing a lot of conversation about this online. Which
me
was
neither.
Shocking
it blew
to
my
me.
Mind. I'm like, where is the like,
because
I don't get it.
I was mad watching this. I was disappointed.
Well, because even if you didn't like him, let's say he's a bad guy. Let's say he's had a bunch of bad shit, like all that. It's bully mentality to go
that's
FP.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, once you're an FP, you're in the bully group. You bullied the kid. Like, that's a bully move.
That's
man.
What I'm saying. And so I was very disappointed because I was like, I totally get someone being the worst and being like, I can't stand that guy. But like you said, having FP on public posts, you're making, having group chat, it's mean. Okay. Even if the guy sucked, it's not nice. And unless you're going to come out and say these crazy things that he's like, he did this, 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 and this, then we can have another conversation. Well, but like, whatever your guys' take on was like, you didn't like him.
Especially if there's no hard evidence of anything. Like, there was not an actual thing that he did. It wasn't like, oh, FP because he
punched
our
friend
in the face. And it was like a thing. And it's like, at least there's like, okay, you're bullying the bully. But it's like, everyone's evidence was like, you're trying to make money on the show. And we're talking about brand deals. And that's annoying to us. And it's like, so confusing. Like, no one had a good example of like, this guy deserves to be publicly disgraced.
And let me say something, everybody. When Xavier was like, well, he wouldn't have known about it if Brayden wouldn't have said something. And then they were all like annoyed at Brayden. Okay, I gotta say something, everybody. Brayden put FP on his post. So he is found guilty in the person participating in the crew. But I gotta let you know, I was like, I appreciate Brayden telling him.
Because at least like you have the chance to do the right thing. And so you did the right thing, even if it hurt you.
You made the mistake and you put it out there. But then at least... Brayden was the one who was like, hey dude, just FYI, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And I had to shout out Brayden and appreciate Brayden in that.
Yeah, because it made him look bad too, obviously.
That's what I'm saying. He participated in it, so he knew that he was going to end up then looking bad, but he still let Peter know. Wow. And I had to give a shout out to Brayden. So yeah, I was literally like, I was disappointed and I could not believe. Now,
also weird for him to come on the show and just be the like,
now
like why wouldn't you just no, not like, if I was Peter, I would have not come on the show.
Question mark. Was he on the beach? Was he horrendous on the beach? And so now are they trying to act like maybe that's why
there's so much vitriol there? Because it's like, hey, you sucked on the beach.
Was he the worst on the beach?
That's what I was saying. There's more to this because it felt like the anger was far more than what they were bringing up. What they were bringing up was a guy who was kind of annoying night one. And that yet their rage was like,
but could you see
more,
though, that there's a potential that rage, yes, is like, you're making us look like mean guys.
100%. But still, they, yeah, were doing that before, like, to go out on a limb and post it. It's one thing to in a group text be like FP, FP, FP,
but to put it online
and risk it getting out.
That is such a wild,
that means
move,
you really got to hate someone. So that's kind of what I'm saying is like, there's got to be something more. Maybe there's some beach stuff. Maybe there's some side stuff that happened. Because I'm like, you going online, putting it online, risking getting exposed. And your only excuse is like that on a Zoom meeting, he was asking about brand deals.
Yeah.
I'm going, what are,
yeah,
we missing
here? I was
going
to say, unless I find out, if I find out that Peter did some heinous things,
that's what
then
I'm saying.
I'll be eating my words.
Of course.
But like in general, from what we know now, I did not see people talking about this online. I was shocked because I found it to be very disappointing. And as much as, you know, this guy might be really like not nice and rub people the wrong way and kind of be the worst, maybe it's still just
with
me.
The evidence given so far, it's very disjointed and weird.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Anywho, another moment that really stood out to me was when all of a sudden we found out that Captain Tom from the Bayou, yeah, was indeed in the audience. I have never been tickled more in my life because
he's by himself too. He's just by himself in the crowd.
There is nothing that brings me more joy than knowing that there was a call put into Captain Tom by The Bachelor, and they were like, we want to fly you to Los Angeles for the filming of The Men Tell All, and you're going to have a moment where you have a rose. And I just had this, the second I saw him, it was like I saw just a slideshow in my head of Captain Tom
as the next Bachelor.
Sure. I mean, maybe that's why he's out here.
Down. He's like, he's just driving his ship. You know, he's doing tours 24/7. And that's like a part of the thing.
He's like, I'm not going to quit my job because why would I do that?
Why would I quit my job?
He's like, I'm not going to quit my job, but you can keep filming me. I'll go on dates while I'm working.
Is Chastity available?
What do you call her? Chastity.
And they're like, well, that's not
and Charity's
her name.
Like, okay, well.
Oh, okay, Charity now. Chastity. He went back to Chastity, I think, too. He like did it again.
But I just saw a slideshow, just a gorgeous slideshow in my brain of Captain Tom getting the call and then being like, we're going to pay for your round trip ticket to Los Angeles. And I just pictured Captain Tom just coming out alone. Captain Tom at Disneyland. Captain Tom, Hollywood Walk of Fame.
He's in one of those tour buses that cruise around like Hollywood.
Captain Tom,
like,
looking for the stars' homes. Captain Tom, by the Hollywood sign.
Like, he starts like a vlog channel on YouTube.
I need it. I need an Instagram of him taking selfies, like, you know, him on Thunder Mountain at Disneyland.
I'm here at the Magic Castle in Hollywood.
I just loved it.
Yeah.
And he ended up giving his rose to Sean. And, you know, Sean was excited to have another moment in the sun.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, a moment for Tanner. I love Tanner.
I love Tanner, too.
I
poor guy.
Tanner. I love Tanner.
I just don't, like we talked about, I just don't think this is his venue.
I really hope he's on the beach.
Yeah.
I feel
I think
like
he would do well.
He will be very desirable, mm-hmm, and desired on the beach.
I agree.
And so I really hope that we see him on the beach. Mm-hmm. I also had a feeling like he might be on the beach because of the way that he, again, referred to Sean and was how annoyed he was with Sean.
Yeah.
I was like, is there, yeah, something that happened?
I hope so.
God, I feel it in my
the
bones.
Beach. The beach is the best.
I feel it in my bones.
I do beach. If you saw the Barbie movie, I do beach. He's like, are you a lifeguard? He's like, no, I just beach.
That was
so funny. We saw the Barbie movie recently, and it's very funny.
God, it's so good.
I beach.
It's funny.
Like, you can't even do beach here. Because he goes to the real world. He tries to be a lifeguard. He's like, no, I just do beach. And he's like,
God, that movie was so funny. It was so powerful, emotional. It was
really,
everything.
Really good. Okay.
Okay. But then Charity. Oh, then we have the conversation. Then we have Xavier,
yeah,
come out. And Xavier has his one-on-one with Jesse. Now, yeah, Xavier seems on edge. Xavier, yeah, seems stressed.
He was heavy-hearted.
Heavy-hearted, nervous, on edge.
Yeah.
And basically comes out and says that he said the wrong things. Yeah. Like, that he had an intention of letting her know that, like, she was his priority, but he put things the wrong way. You know, ended up having word vomit or something that, yeah, he put his foot in his mouth and it was not intentional.
Gave her a crocheted rose.
Did give her a crocheted rose at the end where she was just like...
She was clearly like not into it.
She didn't
She's
feel
like, can
it.
We not do this whole thing right now? Can we just say thank you for coming?
Can we just...
We wrapped it up. All good. Bye. Not make this like a... Because what's a crochet rose do? I mean, like, no offense, but that weirded me out too. I was kind of like, it's over.
Right.
And so for closure, you're giving her a gift?
No, I understand.
I'm kind of like, what is
this? I understand the you know... There are hard feelings between us, and this is my moment of being like, hey, sure. I'm really sorry. But then from her perspective, if I was Charity, I'd feel a little bit like, don't try to like win the public back
right
now.
That's what it felt like. Because that's what it felt like when he was doing the thing before, too, when he was talking about Peter. And he's like, by the way, I'm so sorry we did that. I'm a really good guy. And then he came on. He kind of was in this thing. I felt even worse about it watching it again.
You mean when we
saw the playback, I was like, God, that's even worse than I remember.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Like him literally telling her the night before they're going to meet families, or no, was it after families?
After
it was the night of the families. After you just met my family, by the way, your biggest fear, what I've done, and I've held it, and because she said what I said, which was if she knew about it, he wouldn't have gotten as far.
100%. Now we also saw in the playback where they had their very first date together, and she literally said, my biggest fear is infidelity.
And he's like, totally. Wow.
And he's like, well, I would always be honest to you. And I was like, bro, that was your opportunity. Like, and so now watching that, I'm like, oh my God, if I was in Charity's shoes, I'd be like, I literally said to you infidelity.
Yes.
And you said that you were an honest guy. And then you waited 3 extra episodes.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, you know, to be honest with you, it was just a really bad look. And then him, while he's talking to her, being like, well, you know, I don't know if I can say no to cheating unless I really know you're special. And it was just like, this is so much worse than you're making it.
Well, and then the conversation between like, well, marriage is one thing versus dating. And I was like, no, it's not.
If I'm just dating you, I might cheat on you all the time. But like, if we get married, I got to see more. It just got
so... No, marriage and dating, this is a commitment that you're making regardless.
And then, you know, they even deciphered between like the, oh, do I need to see more means sex? Like, even if that's not the case. Just saying like, in order for me to not cheat on you, I need to see more in any capacity. It just got weird.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because he seems like such a good guy, but there's this weird thing with this like cheating situation where it's like, how is he not seeing how
I think that
bizarre this is?
I believe that you can have a person there's somebody who just needs to have some serious growth and maturity and change. And I think that, I mean, there was the comment that he made where he said, I was so torn up about this that I had to go to therapy. And then he was like, and realized that I need therapy to discuss why I have these blocks in hopes that I can have a long-term relationship. And I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, happy for him that this led to him going to therapy, because as we remember, Charity was like, how are you changing and doing the work? And he's like, I'm just thinking about it in introspective. And I remember sitting there watching it going, I feel like you probably should do therapy.
Yeah.
And now he is in therapy. So that is...
I denounce cheating. That's what he says. Cheating. I denounce cheating.
So just so you all know, I denounce cheating.
It's like I denounce the
devil.
In the
name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord. Cheating is bad. I denounce cheating, cheating, cheating. I do not like it. I do like hoping they'll clip one of those things. And like he denounces cheating like it's a... Again, that was another thing too. It was like, guys, I know this is controversial, but I denounce cheating. Everyone's like, yeah, duh.
Yeah, we sure
like,
hope
thanks
so.
For the bravery there. Like, it was just, I don't know. He was trying to dig himself out of the hole. And I think at the end of the
but
day,
I'm just saying, I'm happy that he's in therapy.
Yes, of course.
You know, I think that he, you know, we can all change and grow and all of this. But I will say, before Charity came out, it was very much like a, I didn't mean to say that. I meant something else. And then I loved when Miss Charity Lawson came out. Our queen, our goddess, came out and was like, nope, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
She was incredible. She came out and she stood in the truth where she was like, hey, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but let's be real about what happened.
Yeah.
You told me way too late. You would have been gone weeks before. You knew how I felt about this. And now you're going to start doing this whole story about the fact that, you know, you were nervous because you have this thing about not knowing if you're receiving love. And you had told me that you were falling in love with me. And then you didn't hear it from me. So that's what triggered you. But then let's be real. You're going to now play that story. let's talk about what they didn't air, which is when I said specifically to you, is it because I haven't said I love you back? Yeah. And you said no. So maybe that's the truth. Maybe that is what triggered him. But then he wasn't honest with her when she brought that up to him. And she gave him so many opportunities. Yeah. And I was just obsessed with the way that she handled the entire thing, per usual, where she was not going to go, okay, yeah, okay, okay, I hear you. You put your foot in your mouth and you meant to say that. She was like, no, let's not taint this. Let's not forget what happened and more of the behind the scenes. And
clearly Xavier's not on the beach because he's talking about how he thought about it every day and this, that, and the other. So
I mean, maybe he was on the beach and it didn't work out.
But,
maybe he was and he didn't, or maybe he did walk away with somebody. I wouldn't be surprised now that we know of
he's
Xavier.
Like, I'm so sorry about this. Here's my rose. Anyway, here's my wife. And he's like, what?
Or like the fact that maybe he met someone on the beach.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, yeah, I was still thinking about Charity every single day.
That's true.
We'll see. But I just was absolutely loved the way she handled it. And I felt like Charity simultaneously, which she does so well. She has such a gift at it. And it really is a gift because I don't know many people who can do this, where she simultaneously spoke truth and was like, nope, did the full Charity loss in 2023. We're not going to do this thing, and still held space for him. While he was sharing that he was hurting and that he wants to show that he is that faithful man. And she wasn't like, no, you're not. And this is why she was like, she held that space for him and was like, I hope that for you.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to be like, no, yeah, you didn't say that. It was pretty powerful to me.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
God, I love her. But then, you know, they ended up hugging and they had a nice wrap to their relationship, and which made me feel like too that she's in love elsewhere. It made me feel good about it.
We will see.
And then we have our legacies come out. Do you mind turning the air on? By the way, I'm dying. And while you turn the air on, I will talk about our legacy family. We had Trista, Desiree, and Deanna, three of our past bachelorettes, come out on stage and support our lead Charity. And I thought that this moment was so good because we've had so many leads come out previously before, and I love when the past leads come out, but this moment felt really special because I felt like sometimes the host in the past has tried to continue to run the show. And I shout out to JP. I felt like as soon as our bachelorettes came out, he didn't say a word, and he just let it feel like an organic conversation where they were supporting Charity and Charity was asking them questions. And we got a little moment from their past episodes with the engagements and the weddings. And then Deanna was talking about our kids and divorce. I just loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Very supportive, very handing of the scepter.
Yes.
You know,
I loved it. Yeah, I thought it was so really great. Nice. And then we had the moment where Gary Turner
GGT came out.
Let me make something clear to you, family. When they showed the preview before GGT came out, Evan and I were both crying.
It was so powerful. I had no idea. He was just so real and like, I don't know. There was no, I'm here to start my acting career. You know, he didn't have just even a moment of like what was going on. He clearly was set up by his daughters and was just like, sure. And I don't know. And then the rawness of his love for his wife was insane. And then the tragedy, I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh. Like,
we were both crying, and then it was actually kind of embarrassing now that I think about it. You and I both started clapping when he walked out, like organically. We were like trying to do a thing.
No.
You and I just were crying alone. And then when he walked out on stage, we alone in our living room started clapping and we're so excited.
He just deserves it. I think that's what it is. It's like, yes. To be honest with you, none of these 24-year-old guys deserve any of this shit. But it's like, they just go out there and they have fun. But they don't deserve true love right now. Like, they're insane. But, like, this guy deserves somebody. You know what I mean? Like, he's earned it.
He must be protected at all costs. He is a wonderful, lovely person who we also in that preview, the preview was so wonderful because we got to see this raw side where he shared his story, but we also then saw that he's really funny.
Yeah,
he was talking about Helen Mirren. He's like, I sure hope that Helen Mirren decides that she really wants to be on the Golden Bachelor. And then when he was practicing handing out the roses and he was like, Gertrude, Eunice,
he's playing into the older guy vibe.
He is so lovely. And there was that photo of him when him and his wife Tony were young, and you see him with these like Coke bottle glasses. And I don't know, his energy is just playful and kind, and like you said, it feels so genuine that I was cheering in a way that I have not cheered in a long time.
One issue though I see.
Oh no.
Not with him. He lives in the middle of nowhere by a lake.
Yeah.
It's a lot. If that's his dream house and he wants to stay there, whoever he meets is going to have to be cool with moving to the middle of nowhere.
That's very true.
Like, they
true.
Even said, like, it was like, I don't know how they found me. I'm in the middle of nowhere. That means really in the middle of nowhere.
That's very true. And a lot of the women who auditioned. So he might meet some,
like, amazing woman who's like, but I want to live, like, in the city and have fun with my friends and, like, me and all my kids. And they're like, no, you're moving out to the wilderness.
I hope they hooked him up and they ended up choosing women who auditioned who, like, live near him in some way. Like, that it's not. Because
if you're, like, 65 and got grandkids, you're not, like, wanting to, like, move away to the woods and you want to see your kids and the grandkids. So that's the only real issue I'm seeing here. It was like, if he lived in, like, Chicago, it'd be like, okay. But, like, middle of nowhere? I don't know.
That's true. I had all of a sudden this crazy, like, thought when I was watching him and just, like, crying and loving it. That I'm like, we haven't seen any of the women who are going to be on this season yet. And I had this thought of, what if all of a sudden we're all like, oh, the Golden Bachelor. And then fucking ABC ends up using all these, like, 35-year-old women.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, midlife crisis incoming. And they're all 33. And you're like,
and we're all sure, we're like, yes, Jerry Gary Turner, he's 71, he's looking for true love. And all of a sudden everyone out of the limo is 35 and he was like, well, that's what I said I was looking
for. Oh, that would be amazing. He's like, I said the oldest I'll go is 33.
And all of us are back and we've been crying and cheering. We're like, yes, Jerry Gary Turner. And then it's just all women my age.
And then the picture's just him, like, in a jacuzzi with a bunch of 30-year-olds being like, finally get to live my paradise. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh. He's on the beach. He's like, ladies. And they're like, ew. That would be insane. He just becomes this big player.
But he's like, he just seems like the loveliest guy. And there were so many moments where, you know, when Jesse Palmer was like, give me your wisdom. You know, all these things, which we're going to be getting a lot of, I'm sure, from JP through Jerry Gary Turner's season. So he's like, what's your piece of advice? Which I love, by the way, when JP's like, hey, guys, do you have any advice for GGT? I'm like, what?
They're like, yeah, dude, if you want to deal, if you like, they'd be like, yeah, dude, the quickest cure for a hangover is just to have another beer. And he's like, thank you.
Fellows, I so appreciate you all so much. You all, I just want to be, I mean, what a gracious man.
One of my most favorite things. He's got like that, he's got like a radio voice.
He does have a radio voice.
One of my most favorite things about coming on this show.
He's so
sweet.
But no, he was so gracious. I mean, because if I was GGT, I would have been like, no, I'm fine. I do not need any advice from these fucking 22-year-olds.
Thank you, frat men.
I'm good. Which I did appreciate.
I would never let
then,
any of you date my daughters.
Which I appreciate then Brayden being like, you know, you've already found the love of your life, so like you're good, you know.
And then Aaron goes, yes, what he said. He just jumped in louder and said the exact same thing. He's like, you already done it, man. You're the best. You got it, man. Whatever Brayden said is what I said.
But when GGT then was like, you know, my biggest suggestion or my biggest piece of advice is look at your partner every day and tell him that you love him, because what I would give to be able to say that one more time. Like,
oh my gosh,
it was so beautiful. Evan and I literally looked over at each other and we're like, I love you.
He inspired
and it
us.
Was a good moment. And I'm like, I'm really looking forward to that during this season.
Yeah.
And then when he talked about, you know, they're making it a shtick now. They're like, he's old, so fantasy suites, huh? It's like, not like older people don't enjoy intimacy, okay? Let's not
don't
with that.
Don't break your legs when you're trying to have sex,
like,
old man.
I'm like, you guys, why are you making this such a shtick? It's like, older people have sex. But I love then that Jerry Gary was like, it for sure we're gonna have fantasy suites, but like it might look different, and you know it's gonna take a while for us to get there, and if they're comfortable. And I'm like, okay, consensual king. But then my just to wrap it too, I just love that at the very end where Jesse was like, do you think that you can find great love twice? And I love what he said, where he was like, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for something different in my 70s now than when I was in high school or my early 20s. And it's never going to be like Tony.
Sure, of course.
And it's just going to be a different love. And when he, when he said in the trailer beforehand,
yeah,
where he's like, he's looking to be able to lie down next to someone at nighttime without saying a word and them just feeling you there, that's love, and started crying. I was out. Like, I was sobbing. I was just like, but I'm just so excited because I think this show, this season is going to be so much fun, and it's going to be dramatic. Yeah. But I think there's also going to be so many nuggets because we are dealing with people who are older than, you know, us, for example, of wisdom. And that moment where then we were able to look at each other and be like, I love you. And it's such a good reminder.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be so powerful. And he is an angel. And I cannot wait.
I'm excited.
I cannot wait. But then we got a preview. And for Charity's final episode, which tune in next week for the finale recap, where, again, we're going to be finding out who the next Bachelor is, too, and find out who Charity chooses. But it looks like it's going to be tense. Like, she does not know who it's going to be, which is so wild. I genuinely have no idea who she's going to choose. Again, I feel this whole season like it has to be Dotton, right? But she seems so in love with Joey.
Yeah.
And then we get clips of her calling in her mom that I was obsessed with, where Mama is like, no, you need to choose.
Yeah.
Like, that is on you. I know you want my opinion. This is on you. I'm just so excited. I cannot wait.
It's going to be awesome. I like that there's tension here.
But cannot wait. So tune in next week as we cover that and find out all of the biz. Should we do a quick call home?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Remember, you can always call home.
Okay, I'm finally working up the courage to call home. So... Yes. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Hi, Lee. Hi, Ember. Hi, Ashley.
And Arthur.
My question as brief as possible, but I want to give you a little backstory. So, I am 31 years old. I'm from the Pacific Northwest, but I live in the Chicago area while my partner finishes up his doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finishing my bachelor's in environmental science online, so I can live anywhere with decent internet. My partner just got into a med school in Arizona, and unless he gets in somewhere else like Washington, Oregon, or California, that's where we're going to be moving in the next year. And I've been really unhappy in the Midwest, and I miss my friends in the wilderness. I feel proud of his accomplishments, and I fully support him. He and I, we will have been together for 7 years on Halloween, and we plan on getting engaged this year. And he's the person I've chose, and he's chosen me, and we love each other. That being said, I feel like I've lost my identity for the past 2 years that we've lived out. Yeah. I've struggled and failed to make new friends or to even find like-minded people. And this has even caused some tension in my relationship too. You know, it's hard when one person in the relationship is, you know, depressed. So there's so much I want to accomplish in my life, including things I feel like I should accomplish before having children, which we've talked about trying to do in the next year or two. So in the fall, I'm taking a train trip alone for 48 hours from Chicago to Portland as a solo adventure. But other than looking forward to that trip, I feel stagnant. And I do that every year on my birthday. I'll do like a backpacking trip or some big adventure.
Love that.
Which is something cool. Great to look forward to. But like when it comes to just my day-to-day life, I feel disappointed. I feel like I'm wasting my life. I know a big part of the issue is that I'm lacking confidence. So here's my question. Do you have advice for someone my age, in my position, that feels like they've lost their zest for life and their confidence? Love you guys, and thank you for listening to me.
Oh, love you.
Mojo.
What?
Getting your mojo back?
Getting your mojo back. First of all, thank you so much for sending in this question, because yeah. I feel like this is something that so many people, like, you're not alone. I think so many people feel this way. And I think it's also something that, like, doesn't necessarily change with age. Evan and I have been talking about it recently again, where I'm like, I'm ready to maybe relocate where we live, mm-hmm. or shift something, like, when you start to feel that way. So I really appreciate you sending in this question. Okay. Initial thoughts. I know you said you absolutely adore your partner, that you all have been together for a long time, and that you're planning on continuing to be together for forever. But I think that it is extremely important to start having this conversation with your partner. You feel unhappy where you're currently at, and you feel lonely. And I think a lot of that is probably why you are feeling the lack of zest for life, as you put it right now. I think that can be due to location if you don't feel settled. And I think that that's an important conversation that you need to have with your partner, because even if there are moments where you're talking with your partner, or where your partner might be like, hey, we'll relocate sometime soon, I think the conversation needs to be very clear of, like, when is that going to happen? Is that for sure going to happen? Because I think that that is something in a relationship, and we've experienced that firsthand, where when you're in a location that you, that doesn't feel right for you, there can be bitterness that is built up when you feel like you are simply just there for your partner. I think, again, in relationship, sacrifice and all of that is a great thing. But if you're feeling like, I can't get out of this rut in this location, I think that it's really important that you are happy as well, like, where you're at.
Mm.
So I think that communicating is going to be something that's really important, because I 100% feel like, you know, there's a place where you can find balance, and you can find a space where you feel comfortable with what your partner says and how they feel moving forward, but then they know how you're feeling. So I don't know, when you're talking about having these, like, 48 hour excursions alone, I think that's so fabulous. I think that's so cool. It's such a great idea. And I think that's also, like, it takes a lot of bravery and courage to, like, be the out there alone and put yourself out there. And I just think that that's amazing. And I would encourage you to continue to do more of those and try to seek your passion in that way. But I also think that there might be an element too of, like, if you don't feel happy where you're living, that maybe your partner, if you had the conversation, were super vulnerable about feeling really stagnant, that your partner might be like, you know what? Same. Let's talk about a year plan. Do I know I have my job situation and, like, all of this, but let's talk about a year plan to, like, get out and go somewhere else. If maybe you guys haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah.
So I know I'm rambling, but those are just my initial thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to come at it from just, like, a real, like,
practical dad
vibe. But I'm just like, listen, if you've committed to this, he's going to, you know, medical school or whatever, his residency or whatever it is, and you're kind of here and you're not feeling super happy, I just think you got to do and stop thinking. The more you're sitting there thinking about everything, it's going to drive you crazy. Just start doing stuff. Like, if you're like, oh, I want to accomplish this, this and this, start doing it. If you're like, oh, I really want to write a book or whatever, I want to write a book. Okay, then take some writing classes, get in, like, a writing group, get in a book club, like, socialize your hobby. You know what I mean? Make connections, like, go try. If you're like, you said, I miss the wilderness. Well, I know there's some wilderness in Arizona. It's not quite like maybe the wilderness where you're from or whatever, but, like, maybe there's, like, trail hiking groups. Maybe there's, like, some cool, I don't even know, but I'm just saying, start doing research on, like, getting out and doing stuff, and you're going to find, there's going to be a lot of failure. There's going to be things like, that group sucked, that wasn't fun, but then there's going to be, you might find something. You're like, oh, acting class, who knows what it is. But the more that you just go out and do, the more that you'll spend less time thinking about what's bothering you.
Totally.
And you might find something new and a group of friends that is new that you didn't expect. And now you're like, I want to stay here forever because I have this amazing friend group. I have this awesome hobby. Mm-hmm. I started a new job. Who knows what?
And that takes so much bravery and courage to do, which, like, when you say that, I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds so intimidating to me. But you clearly have, when you're out there taking train trips alone for 48 hours, you've got that. So yeah, just keep doing more of that, I guess.
Yeah. But like, invest locally in your ideas, you know, like at the end of the day, that backpacking trip is fun, but it is kind of a band-aid. You're gonna have to come back to your reality. You're gonna have to come back to your life. So work on making your life the thing that you don't feel like you need to leave. You know what I mean? Don't make it like that's a nice fun adventure, but it's not like I need to escape this my world. Like, do your best to kind of start working on cultivating, you know that it's not gonna happen right away. You're not gonna make all the friends in a week. You're not gonna know that it's gonna take time, but just relax in experimentation.
But I also think too, something that you can think about is if you feel like, because you're not happy with the location that you're in, and I know you adore your partner, but if you're like, I don't feel satisfied or good here, there is an option where you could, like you said, because your work is remote and you can do it anywhere that you have good internet, you could go away for a while. You could contact a friend and see if you could maybe even couch surf back where you used to live, like, and take a week with this friend, a week with this friend. Like, you could go away for a month and go back to where you were. And I know you're going to be then away from your partner, but you could be there for a month and you guys could do like long distance. And if all of a sudden you're there and you're like, I'm so much happier here, then that's a conversation you can have with your partner. And I know you're supporting your partner, but that's also then something I think that is important to talk about because it's your life too.
Sure.
And I think then that's then, you know, more specific communication than you can dive into where you can tell your partner, like, I am not happy here. I'm happy here. Is there any way that this could eventually happen? Or, you know, maybe for right now, we do part of our relationship long distance. Like, maybe you are able to go somewhere else every couple weeks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think there are ways, and it's not easy. It takes a lot of tenacity and it's a lot of effort. But I think at this time in your life, there's so much amazing life to live, and you don't want to, you know, waste those moments when you're younger that are so amazing.
Totally.
Where you can soak it up. So I'm like, yeah, dive in, soak it up.
Yeah.
But,
well, good luck.
I hope any of that made sense, what I said. I feel like I was a little
No.
In my sixth stage.
No, you were just empathizing. I think that's important. You know what I mean? And so I think you got it. You got it. You'll find it. Just,
yeah.
But just don't, like, yeah, don't write it off right away. Give it a real go. See what you find.
Yeah.
You know, we love you.
Sending you love. Thank you for being with us in our illness.
We help us.
As we are, we're almost out. We're going to be good.
Out. Yeah.
Tomorrow will be great. We'll be great. We'll be great.
And we will see you guys next week. Have an amazing week. We love you.
See you all next week.
Kisses and hugs.
Bye. Bye.